Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today. This is Dr. Youngblood, and you're tuned in to Let's Face the Issues, a daily radio broadcast where we, from a Christian biblical perspective, face the issues in life. And when I say that, ladies and gentlemen, perhaps you've listened over the months or perhaps years with us, and you know that we do so by biblical worldview. When I say biblical worldview, we're talking about what does the Word of God say. God created the home, God created the church, and He created government. But He created the home and government and then the church. And so anything that we talk about that many are afraid to discuss from the pulpit or even as Christians to discuss, because there is some sense that we have a wall of separation of church and state, which is absolutely an anomaly because it is not true. There's no wall of separation of church and state. When it comes down to those issues, whether it be home, family, or church, it is all found in the Scripture. So therefore, we discuss it from a biblical worldview. And that biblical worldview simply says, what does the Bible say? What position ought we to take as Christians based on the authority of the Word of God and not based on what government may say or some committee or some ideology, but what does the Word of God say? You see, Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. John 8, 31 and 32. And then in John 17, 17, the Lord Jesus himself said, thy word is truth. And so we talk about the Word of God, we're talking about truth. We don't say we go to the Bible to find truth. We go to the Bible because it is truth. The source book, the fountainhead, the fundamental foundation of truth comes from the Word of God. And so therefore we bring you this broadcast based on the Word of God, the truth. And ladies and gentlemen, at any point during this broadcast today, you can join us by dialogue by dialing 401-1413, 904-401-1413. We'll get you through. You can have a discussion, dialogue. Perhaps you want to jump in at any point, make a comment, or have some additives or addition to say to the broadcast. In just a moment, I'll be introducing to you Trudy Perez, which is with Family for Life. And we're going to be talking about some issues today dealing with what I call simply murder by way of abortion. Now, that's pretty strong language, and some get offended with that, and I don't want to offend anybody, but I want to be forthright with what the Word of God says. Ladies and gentlemen, perhaps you've heard some of the latest news today where there's the expanding of the euthanasia laws. We're going to start with this because there's a trickle-down with the thoughts for the discussion today as we face the issue of abortion and the destruction of human life, simply because Roe versus Wade in 1973, the Supreme Court said it's legal, but just because something is legal doesn't make it legitimate or right biblically. But we have six states already in America today that are open to allowing murder of the elderly and those that are discouraged simply with what is called doctor-assisted suicide. They have the philosophy that it's the right to die, the philosophy that it's the good death or the peaceful death. You don't find anything in the Word of God about that. God doesn't say anytime, any place from Genesis to Revelation in the Scripture that we'll not have pain in life and that there not be pain in death. But God is the author of life and God is the author of death. The Scripture says it's appointed unto man once to die. And after that, the judgment. That word appoint in the Greek text simply means at a point in time past, God determined the precise moment that we will be born and the precise moment that we will die. It's all in the hands of God. But yet we have those in the legislative branches in our states today and across the nation that's making the determination that it's okay to have euthanasia and to assist with doctor-assisted suicide. Well, you know, Dr. Kevorkian was imprisoned for doing the very same thing. And now what he was imprisoned for has become legal in so many states because of the push by some in society that view life with a very, very low level of interest and or concern. And we have now a movement to also legalize euthanasia for teens. Did you know that? Ladies and gentlemen, I'm saddened enough when I see that there's a pathway for taking old folks out, as it is called, and there are some nations that have done that for many, many years, China being one, where life has no real value, and you get up in age and there's no benefit to society, then they simply put you on a canoe, take you out in the middle of the waters, and leave you there. And that's a way of dispatching them in that society. And we have adopted some of those same barbaric philosophies in taking life in America. And I'm bothered by it. And now, ladies and gentlemen, the state of Delaware has just introduced a bill to legalize euthanasia for the mentally impaired. Now, ladies and gentlemen, listen. If you were to go to the hospital and you're mentally impaired, you've got to have an advocate, an attorney, or someone signed off as your administrative director to make a decision about any serious surgery, a medication that would be administered to you. But here we are now in the state of Delaware. And of course, I'm not totally surprised coming out of that part of the nation where this would be a what I call a loose likes liberal mindset that life is really has no value if you're mentally impaired. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, God has created every life and has a plan for every human being. I don't care how weak we may be, how strong we may be, or whatever the age may be. God has a plan. And so I want us to understand that what's happening in society today where life is viewed with such a low value, it's simply because we have determined that we're going to follow what the society says rather than what the Savior says. And there's a mass difference, vast, vast difference. We've lost sight of the fact that God created us and that we're fearfully and wonderfully made, according to Psalms 139, verse 14. And as a result of that, we've determined that we can be the giver and taker of life, if you will. We don't have the authority to do so, ladies and gentlemen. It's an impossibility. May I remind us, the devaluation of life has really plummeted since Roe versus Wade. May I just simply repeat an earlier statement? Since Roe versus Wade in 1973, we've murdered about 60 million human beings. And now just a little side footnote on that for your edification. We're talking about the shortage in the Social Security Administration funds and the shortage of workers, et cetera, et cetera. Perhaps that would not be the case had we not murdered 60 million human beings in the since Roe versus Wade in 1973. When life begins to be viewed as less than from God, when life begins to be viewed as a quantitative source based on age and based on ability or disability, we've plummeted to a barbaric state in America. And I'm frightened by the future tense of where we're going with that. But ladies and gentlemen, a good example of that is Tim Tebow. And most of us know him from his sports, how would you say, wins, and for his position in society. With that, let me just read you a little brief blurb. Title of the article says, "They said I was just a tumor. Tim Tebow reveals the miracle that unfolded after doctors urged abortion and said he wasn't even human, wasn't even a baby." The ex-NFL player turned minor league baseball star Tim Tebow has always been one to speak out boldly about his Christian faith. And here this article says, "There was a lot of craziness with my mom's pregnancy," Tim said. "She decided to simply trust God and not what the doctors were saying." Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know if I could say it any better, that his mother decided to simply trust God. And truly, I find that refreshing, that here's a mom that regardless of what the physicians say, regardless about the horrifying, how would you say, report that they had given her, that it was an impossibility for this to be a real life, that she chose to simply trust God.
Absolutely. And you know, if she hadn't trusted God and maybe she hadn't had her children, she may be one of the elderly that they're trying to euthanize. That's another thing to think about. The 60 million children that are not here are not taking care of their old elderly parents.
And you say that and it triggers the thought in my mind. I'm amazed by these folks today. And I'm not anti-youth today. But with the millennials, 18 to 35 years of age, they're basically coming into vogue as being in control of our government, of our religious organizations, and with every aspect of life. And it's in this age group generally that's making the determination that when you're old, when you're infirmed, mm-hmm. when you're perhaps impaired mentally, that life has no value, and so we can just discard it. And I'm frightened to see the future for the older generation today as to where we're going with it. It's bad enough to know that in the Obamacare legislation of some 14,000 pages, I believe they wind up saying it's about 20,000 pages. I'm thankful that we're in part dismantling that today. But I believe it's on page 115 and following when that first came out, and I read most of the Obamacare legislation, that after 75, they do in fact have hearing boards made up of 15 people, non-medical, that make the determination whether those medicines or medical devices can be paid for by insurance to extend the life of the elderly.
Right.
And in that hearing scenario that they have today, and whether they admit it or not, it's there, they make the determination, they tell then the insurance companies what they can pay for and what they can't. Talked with a physician just this week, and he said, I am tired of battling with insurance companies. He said, I'll write a prescription for my patient, and the insurance company says, no, they can't have that. And he said, I have to go to battle sometimes three and four times of going back to the insurance companies to be able to write a prescription for my patients.
It's a cost-benefit factor.
Cost-benefit factor.
Correct.
And once we're of a certain age and we're no more real production for society, then they're weighing it behind the scenes. Should we spend another $100, $500, $10,000, $100,000 on this patient, or should we just dispatch them?
Correct. And what benefit are we going to get from it? He's 78 years old. What's he doing? He's not being productive, giving anything to society. And he doesn't, I mean, now they don't have children. A lot of people don't have the children to fight for the parent.
Absolutely.
Or to take care of the parent and take the burden off of society.
That's it. Exactly right. And so ladies and gentlemen, I don't want to paint a dim, dark, desperate picture, but you know, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 and verse 2. In verse 2 in particular, it says, and perilous times shall come. That word perilous from the Greek text simply means dark, dangerous, difficult, deadly, destructive. And so that's what we're finding. We want to talk about a few things with Trudy today in relationship to what we're doing in society when it comes to abortion. Why is it necessary for our listeners today to understand the dangers and what's happening? Tell us some of the things that you and your ministry are faced with and what you find in relationship to the ease or what seems to be so easy to decide to simply take a life.
Well, first of all, I'd like to quote Proverbs, since you just quoted 1 Timothy, because it says, did you fail to rescue those who were being dragged off to death, those tottering, those near death, because you said we didn't know about it?
Mm-hmm.
Surely the searcher of hearts knows and will repay all according to their deeds.
Amen.
So that's telling me I need to do something.
Absolutely.
And the listeners need to do it, because we need to understand that 10 years ago, we had 8,500 babies killed in this city alone, killed by abortion legally in this city, where we had maybe 100 murders in the city that were illegal, but we had 8,500. But since Family for Life has been on the streets, we stand on the sidewalks in front of abortion facilities where the death occurs, where the killing occurs, trying to save the lives of these babies. We've been there and are there now at the four abortion facilities in Jacksonville every time, anytime a woman goes in to get an abortion. Well, this year, the Agency for Healthcare Administration just posted on February the 5th, the tally of the number of abortions that were done this year in Jacksonville, and they're 5,400. So we've gone from 8,500 to 5,400. So that tells you something.
It's working.
We have, our numbers have decreased from 2006 to 2017 by 37%.
Amen.
But also, everybody's saying, well, okay, the numbers all over the United States have decreased, and in Florida they have decreased, and that's correct. They have decreased, but the number of abortions in Florida back in 2006 were over 95,000.
Mm-hmm.
This past year, they're at 69,000. That's a 27% decrease.
Amen.
So we're 37% in Jacksonville.
So what we're saying, if I could interrupt for a moment, mm-hmm. is God is blessing the
yes.
effort.
Yes.
We can't save them all, but God has placed advocates out there on the streets.
Yes.
To be His hands, His tools, His feet, His tongue,
voice. Mm-hmm.
His voice, to be able to advocate for the unborn. I am thankful to hear that.
God be praised.
Amen.
That's right. Absolutely. And sometimes we see the saves. We follow the woman, the mother to pregnancy. We even follow some of the children as they're growing up. And other times we don't. And I'd like to tell you what we call them as sidewalk stories, because sometimes
yes.
we get a story. And this was a very interesting one. Mm-hmm. We had people standing on the sidewalk at an abortion facility. A man drove up in an SUV. He parked his car. He pulled over a child. And he said, I have something to show you. He said, we were here 4 years ago to abort our baby, but you were standing out here and we just drove by. So God used the smile of a four-year-old boy and the tears of his emotional daddy to encourage us to remain faithful. Sometimes we don't realize,
yes.
but he, 4 years later, he showed us the product of us standing
testimony.
There. Yeah.
That is an encouraging thought, and it encourages each one that volunteers to be involved. Tell us what you need more than anything else for your ministry to continue in Jacksonville. What is the greatest need?
Right. Well, of course, prayer. We always start with
mm-hmm.
prayer.
Right.
Everybody can pray. Everybody that's listening can pray to end abortion in Jacksonville. We don't want any more child to be aborted in Jacksonville. And then if you're able to, we would love for you to come stand on the sidewalk with us. There are actually four abortion facilities in Jacksonville. And they're open anywhere from 6 days a week, Monday through Saturday, or maybe 2 days a week, depending, or 1 day for abortions. Planned Parenthood is open just 1 day. So actually, there are only 20 hours a week that the mothers are going in to have abortions. And if we could get coverage of people standing on the sidewalk those 20 hours, imagine if you're going to get an abortion and you see two people standing on the sidewalk. But then imagine if you see 20 people
mm-hmm.
or 100 people.
Yes.
I wonder how many listeners you have right now. All we need, if we have 100 people on the sidewalk, would be 2,000 people to stand with us.
Ladies and gentlemen, do you hear these statistical data and the need? You can call us at 401-1413, 904-401-1413. Join in the dialogue and discussion. Perhaps you have a question to ask to Trudy, or perhaps you want to volunteer. Trudy, is there a number that people could call if they want to volunteer to participate in
yes,
any way?
Yes, I'll have to get it for you
all
in
right.
just a minute.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to give you the telephone number that you could reach Trudy's organization if you want to volunteer to help participate in saving a life. I don't know of anything that would be any more important. I understand that sharing the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ with someone to prevent them from going to hell, that's saving a life for eternity. But we must first be able to save that life coming into the world to be able to present the gospel to them. So it is a very, very important endeavor and a ministry opportunity. And perhaps you're listening and you say, how can I help? How can I be involved? What can I do to help save a life in Duval County here in Jacksonville? What is that telephone number?
I'll have to get it for you in just a minute.
Okay.
But I wanted to add to that because, you know, we have many people that want to save the person's soul, the mother or the father that's going in
right.
there. And we all want to save
yes.
their soul. The difference is that life, we have maybe a minute.
Narrow threshold.
Very narrow. The woman is still going to be here when she
mm-hmm.
comes out of the abortion
right.
facility. We can still work on saving her soul. But we're trying desperately to save the life of this child that will never have an opportunity to love, know, love, and serve God here on earth.
Unless we can prevent the abortion.
That's it.
Yes. Trudy, tell us something about the two or three bills, some of which are dying without going into committee. The two or three bills that have been introduced this year in the House and in the Senate. There's one bill that is HB 189. That's House Bill 189. It is the abortion clinics bill.
Right.
Senate Bill 320 and House Bill 189. Let me just read to you, ladies and gentlemen, what this bill, by the way, it was introduced by Amy Mercado and Linda Stewart, both Democrats, and I need not even have to say that. Excuse me. I think you can recognize that by the wording of the bill. But it says, this bill prohibits anyone from interfering with women attempting to enter abortion clinics. Sidewalk counselors and protesters could face fines, civil suits, and criminal penalties for simply calling out the woman to not abort her baby. this bill goes beyond prohibiting criminal and inappropriate interference with abortion facilities and limits free speech. So House Bill 189 and the matching bill to that is Senate Bill 320. Trudy, tell us what you know about that bill today.
Well, first of all, I know that the reason why they proposed it was because of what we're doing on the sidewalk.
Yes.
And this has happened all
deliberately
over.
Targeting that.
Exactly, because what's happening is for every abortion that is not done, the facility loses about $500 or more. It depends on the size of the baby as to the amount that they pay for the abortion. So if we have three saves in a day, that's $1,500 in one day that the abortion facility is losing, mm-hmm. Planned Parenthood included. And I'm sure that they had a big contingency here with this Linda Stewart from Orlando. So what's happened is, thanks be to God, we have a Republican legislature here in Florida.
Yes.
I'm
praying it remains that way.
That's right. So the bill was introduced a long time ago. It was introduced back in September of 2017.
Yes.
And then in October, it was immediately referred to 3 to 4 committees, both in the House and in the Senate. And because we have a Republican legislature, it was never heard by any committee. This is the last week that the House of Representatives will be having committee meetings, so there's no way. It just died in the legislature. Thank
God. Well, fortunate with our legislative process, in one sense of the word, because if there's a bad bill and we have good folks in charge, mm-hmm. It can just be left in committee or not even brought to committee.
Exactly.
And kill it simply by letting it down the vine, as I call it.
That's right. That's
but unfortunately, right. If we have some good legislation and we have folks in charge that want to kill that good legislation, they can do so also with that bill.
Immediately, almost. It'll go into effect at midnight on July the 1st, and by 12:01 a.m., we've got a liberal judge that'll challenge it.
Yes.
And then it goes up to our Supreme Court, Florida Supreme Court, which is very liberal, and then they throw it out.
By the way, you touched on Supreme Court, and you brought out something a moment ago in our pre-broadcast discussion, and I was not aware of this. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to some information about what's happening with our Supreme Court. Share with us something on that, Trudy.
Yes, well, there's 7 justices on our Supreme Court, and right now it tends to be liberal. But this, the same exact day that Governor Scott's term ends, we have 3 liberal justices whose terms end on that same day. So we have an opportunity of our governor appointing three new justices. There's a little bit of a problem here because Scott is leaving on the same day that these people retire, and he's saying that he's going to appoint on that same day, on his last day as governor. Whether or not that's going to happen or it would be constitutionally correct, I don't know. But just in case it's not going to happen, we need to elect a Republican governor for sure.
Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know if you hear the weight of what's just been said, but 3 liberal Florida Supreme Court justices are termed out because of age. And as a result of that, Governor Scott has the opportunity. By the way, he is constitutionally correct. He can mm-hmm. appoint them either today or the last day in office. He has that legal authority as governor. Now, my opinion, if he does that on the last day in office, it's left to kind of spin in the wind as to which way that's handled in by the courts. Of course, my preference would be to see him go ahead and make the appointments now and let the battle take place during this last year that he's in office before he's termed out. By that, I simply would like to see our listeners contact the governor's office by telephone or email or otherwise reaching him through his administrative assistants there in Tallahassee and urge him mm-hmm. to appoint 3 Supreme Court justices that are conservative men for the bench. I believe that it's vital and necessary because we've had, ladies and gentlemen, I've been in Jacksonville for about 40 years, and we've got some of the most liberal decisions that I've ever seen from any state coming out of the state Supreme Court for the state of Florida. I think it's time we have a good, solid change, that we have some Supreme Court justices that will stand for life and will stand for the Constitution and protect the citizens of the state of Florida. There's one other bill, actually 2 others, that they had in the hopper, if you will. Ladies and gentlemen, let's talk about it for just a moment. It is one that is House Bill 1429. Trudy, I believe you're familiar with that bill. It's the Dismemberment Abortion Bill. and it prohibits dismemberment abortion, where an unborn child is killed by an abortionist using instruments to cut up and to rip into the child's body, taking the body into pieces and extracting those pieces from the mother's womb. Tell us, what do you know about the status of that?
Well, the status with that is just about the same as the one with the access to abortion clinics. It's also is dying in the legislature because it wasn't heard by all of the committees. But the thing is if it had passed, it probably would have been rejected by a challenge by a liberal judge just as soon as it was to be put into effect, and then head up to the Supreme Court. So this may not be the season for that particular bill. Maybe next year after we have a very conservative court would be. I want to talk just a little bit about the dismemberment bill, too, because, of course, all the babies are dismembered when they come out.
Mm-hmm.
But what they're doing is they're defining the dismemberment as any abortion where they actually take a leg out or an arm out or whatever. And for them to do that, it's a later term abortion. So it'd be second trimester, towards the end of the second trimester.
20 weeks or more.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. And we're actually, in Florida, we're limited to 24 weeks. Mm-hmm. Though, thanks be to God, the abortion facilities here in Jacksonville don't do it to 24 weeks. Most of them do it up to 16 weeks or to 20 weeks. So if it had passed, we wouldn't be that much affected by it. But even if it saves, 100, 200 babies, that's good.
That's still another life.
That's right.
Absolutely.
That's another life.
Absolutely. And then there's a bill, House Bill 41, Senate Bill 444, Pregnancy Support Services. Ladies and gentlemen, let me just read this to you carefully. It requires Florida Department of Health to contract with the Florida Pregnancy Care Network, the FPCN, to provide pregnancy support services for women who suspect or know that they're pregnant. FPCN would then provide support to the pregnant women and address their wellness needs. That sounds good on the surface of that. The bill requires FPCN subcontractors to promote and support childbirth only. Here's the little fragment now that's the thing that I have a problem with. All services provided must be voluntary and cannot include religious content. I don't know the status of that bill. Do you?
It's passed. It's passed.
With that bill, though, I am saddened to see that they say that Christians basically cannot be involved, that you cannot have anything about any religious content. So it kind of nullifies the real impact, even though it would still have a positive impact. It nullifies the impact of the spiritual input on that. I've got one final thought, Trudy, that I want us to talk about before our time is up. We got about 30 seconds to go. Here's an article that says, amazing photo shows doctors removing womb with the unborn baby to repair spinal bifida. I find it fascinating that we can do that kind of surgery and save a life, and yet we're told by the abortionists, those that are running the abortion clinics, Planned Parenthood and others, that if that baby's impaired in the womb, just go ahead and kill that baby. But we already have the scientific medical care that can save a baby's life in that womb. Ladies and gentlemen, we've been talking about intervening in a child's life to prevent abortion and to allow that child to live. Trudy, one final thing. Give us that telephone number that people can call.
It's 904-382-2619.
Repeat it one more time.
904-382-2619.
Call that number, ladies and gentlemen, and talk with Trudy. See how you can become involved to help save a life in Duval County here in Jacksonville. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today. This is Dr. Youngblood, and we do invite you to join us again on tomorrow as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal, Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.